Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back here on the Keystone Kickoff Show, presented by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, the Keystone Sports app. Dustin Hawkinsmith back here, still talking some more Penn State football. Brandon Short, former Penn State linebacker, candidate for Penn State's Board of Trustees, joins us by phone right now in London. Brandon, welcome. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Great to be here.
Thanks for being here. How wild have the past couple months been for you, just trying to juggle everything that you're juggling right now?
Oh, man, the past couple months have been a little bit crazy, you know. Right now I'm running for Penn State's Board of Trustees. And I've been out on the campaign trail, you know, talking to alumni, listening to what their concerns are, you know, getting up to speed on some of the key issues facing the university, whether it's tuition, Greek life, you know, communications, all those issues. So it's been a little bit hectic, but you know, it's exciting, and you know, I'm happy to get out, you know, meeting people and, you know, trying to make a difference.
So I know you have your priorities as you're going out and you're talking to people. What has emerged maybe as a concern from people that you might not have anticipated? What's something that you're listening to and hearing people what their concerns are?
Well, I guess that it's a concern that I actually did anticipate, but it's still sort of the number one issue facing, you know, Penn State is affordability. That, you know, Penn State is a state university, and, you know, and in my view, a state university has a responsibility to be able to provide upward mobility for middle class people. And, you know, the cost to attend Penn State has gotten sort of out of control. It's about $51,000 a year. If you're coming to attend Penn State from out of state, the cost to attend four universities is a national problem, but you know, it's magnified in Penn State.
And what are, I know this is a loaded question, but how do you begin to combat that, considering it's a national trend?
Well, I mean, you need to think creatively. You know, there's other universities, for example, Purdue, you know, has had a tuition freeze for the past 7 years. Now, Purdue is a much smaller university than Penn State, but, you know, we can take sort of innovative ideas from other schools around the country on how they're dealing with this national problem. You know, trying to get students out in 3.5 years, maybe taking online classes, doing work-based learning where you're giving students credits for, you know, participating in internships, you know, using economies of scale. You know, Penn State's a $5.7 billion a year budget, which makes it one of the largest businesses in the state of Pennsylvania, which means we should be able to get discounts on everything from books to paper to even sort of electricity. You know, so like we need to really think creatively around ways to sort of get costs under control and, you know, push back on some of the other external factors like the lack of state funding, you know, that Penn State receives from the state of Pennsylvania.
So this is an interesting time, obviously, for the Board of Trustees. And I think this is a group of people that, you know, in the last 5 or 6 years, there probably are a lot of alumni who didn't even think about this group or who they were or what they wanted in a board member. But this is the times have changed a little bit. At what point in time did you decide that you wanted to do this?
Well, this is sort of attention from the alumni base actually picked up, you know, in the wake of the Sandusky scandal and how people were disappointed and how Penn State's leadership handled that scandal, sort of leaving a void, you know, allowing a narrative to take place that somehow Penn State had a bad culture or was some sort of football culture when it's the complete opposite. You know, there were Thon, were Arts Fest, were high academic standards, were real people making a positive impact on our community. And that narrative, you know, the leadership allowed that narrative to take place. But me running for the board is something that I've wanted to do since I knew that the board existed from when I first got to Penn State. You know, Joe used to always talk about community service and giving back, and, you know, Penn State's done a lot for me, and it's something that I've, you know, always wanted to do. You know, just now I'm at a point in my career where I feel like I'm able to come in and make a positive impact. You know, I've gone from, my time in the NFL. I've got an MBA from Columbia. I worked at Goldman Sachs in New York, Goldman Sachs in Dubai. Now I do real estate private equity, and I feel like the summation of my experiences to right now leave me in a position to make a positive impact on the university.
Let me ask you about leadership, and I wanted to ask you about James Franklin anyway, but you mentioned the 3.5 year graduation plan. That's a James Franklin special with his guys, with his team. And it's like, if football players can do it, most students should be able to pull that off. What do you think about just in terms of leadership? Just put football aside, leadership of James Franklin. He's different than Joe, but at the same time, he's given no indication that he cares about different things. I think academics and all that stuff are really in his heart.
Yeah, there's no question. James Franklin is different than Joe. He has a different style, a different approach, but I think that approach is more tailored towards the kids that Coach Franklin brings in today. But although he's different than Joe, you know, it's the same guiding principles when you talk about academics, community service, you know, leadership. You know, that Coach Franklin, you know, pushes all of the members of the football team not only to sort of be great athletes, but to be leaders on campus and to be examples for other students to how they should carry themselves and, you know, the way that they should represent the university. So, you know, Coach Franklin has done an amazing job. You know, he's won 11 games for the past 2 years on the football field, but I'm so much more impressed with, you know, the type of kids that, you know, type of young men that he's helping to mold at Penn State. You know, at Penn State, you could vouch for someone from Penn State. You knew that they would be hardworking. You knew that they would be high character. You knew that they would be someone that you would want that would be a leader. And I'm so happy that same, you know, stamp is on every Penn State kid that comes out of there with a degree today.
And somehow, you know, you go through some transition, even including Bill O'Brien, that process wasn't really lost. I think the belief in Penn State kids to be doing the right things, I think the reputation, like in the NFL and nationally, I don't think that's been lost. And it's hard. That's a hard thing to pull off under all those circumstances.
Yeah, it is extremely difficult. You know, Penn State experienced a very devastating tragedy. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, the tragedy that occurred at Penn State is not unique to Penn State. You know, there was a narrative out there that somehow that it was related to football or football was an issue, and that's just not the case. You know, you see it in many aspects of society, unfortunately, where you have sort of predators hiding in plain sight acting as authority figures in the Catholic Church, you have Michigan State, police departments, other organizations that don't get the attention that they deserve, and hoping that, you know, what happened at our school can help, you know, bring attention to the issue and make sure that it doesn't, you know, that reduce the probability of things like that happening again.
You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, talking Penn State football, talking to Brandon Short, candidate for Penn State's Board of Trustees, former linebacker, former New York Giant, and I wanted to change gears to that end. Saquon Barkley going number 2 overall to the Giants. What should he expect? What surprises might be around the corner when you're trying to transition into that market and that kind of attention, that kind of scrutiny?
Yeah, it's a big transition. You know, when you come from a place like Penn State that's so family oriented, and you feel like you're part of an extended family. The Giants are a great organization, no doubt about it. But New York is New York, and it's not your family. It's a different type of animal where there's people pulling at you to make investments. There's ladies coming at you. There's constantly people that are pulling at you for wanting something. Sometimes it can be difficult to stay focused, but, you know, Saquon has comes from a solid background, and, you know, I'm sure that he's going to be able to navigate that very well.
What do you think about the idea of a running back going number 2 overall and that being too high in today's NFL climate? Do you think it's fair or unfair to devalue a running back, even a guy like Saquon Barkley, who can really impact the game in so many ways. That's really one of the narratives that's out there, is that the Giants should have taken a quarterback or considered trading back, but they love Saquon Barkley, and really, what's not to love?
Yeah, and so in terms of the running back point, you got to take the best available player. I mean, like, there are two people. If you take offensive linemen first, you've taken defensive ends. You know, there are other positions that have come out. Receivers have gone number one. So you got to look at the talent pool and where you are in the draft, and look at who's the best available. And then you cross that over with, you know, what are the basic needs of the team. You know, in my opinion, Saquon Barkley is the best running back that I've seen in a generation. You know, he can change the game with the ball in his hands, of course, but with when he doesn't have the ball. You know, people bring it eight men down in the box to defend him. Him picking up the blitz, catching the ball, creating mismatches out in the secondary with running backs and with linebackers and safeties. I mean, I've watched him develop, and he's really dynamic. And I don't think that he's reached his full potential yet. You know, remember, he's just a junior, so he would have another year, and in some cases, he would have two more years in college. You know, for a lot of folks, they have 5 years, so he's still getting better. So watch out.
Yeah, that's scary, man. We got about a minute here. I'd be remiss to not ask you about Penn State's linebacker situation. It's a group that a lot of people are watching. I know you were at the Blue White game. I don't know if you really had a chance to watch every single play or anything, but there are two guys who stood out to me: Jesse Lucada, number 40, and Micah Parsons, number 11. Who it makes you think that linebacker you could be making a pretty good comeback here.
Oh, no doubt about it. Those guys are extremely talented. And, you know, Micah came in. He's the number four recruit overall in the country. And, he, you know, just watching him and his burst and his acceleration, you know, he's not disappointing. And Jesse Lucada is a four-star recruit, you know, coming in, just is a leader and somebody that has a lot of upside. You know, you also have sort of an older group, so a few older guys that are coming back. You have Cam Brown, you know, out there that, you know, is sort of a longer, sort of ganglier guy, but, you know, he's going to go out there and make plays. And a veteran of the group is Cole Farmer, you know, number seven, who's a converted safety. So it's like the opposite of what we used to do. So they do take some big guys. You know, I was a defensive end, and they moved me back to linebacker. And now they're taking the safeties and moving them up to linebacker, getting stronger and faster, and, you know, the sky's the limit for linebacker you.
There you go. Brandon Short talking linebackers, talking Penn State football here with us on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Still got some more show to come. Ask Greg your Penn State football and recruiting questions coming up right after this. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can, when you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
Hey, Keystone Sports Nation, it's Scott Shirley, the Executive Director of Uplifting Athletes, inviting you to join us for the annual Gridiron Gala Saturday, June 9th in downtown Harrisburg at the Keystone Building. Features all you can eat and drink, tailgate food, and special guests, including Devin Still, former Penn State All-American and NFL star, and most importantly, the father of Leah, who courageously beat her rare cancer and inspired millions. Visit upliftingathletes.org to learn more and help us tackle rare diseases. Hope to see you there.